Chapter 7, Dancing Queen. On my second camp morning, not only do I remember to brush my teeth, I wear my pajama bottoms to flagpole. But my day gets worse soon after that. First, at cleanup, I have bathroom, which is majorly vile. Wearing plastic gloves, I rinse the toothpaste blobs and strands of hair down the sinks, and dump the individual stall garbages into the main one on the porch. Then I have to restock the toilet paper and soap. After that, Deb tells us we have dance for our first activity. That's when I know the end is near. I look like I'm being electrocuted when I dance. Instant anxiety sets in. I follow my bunkmates to the rec hall with a heavy heart. After the dance specialist leads us in a warm-up, she puts on some R&B music and tells us to dance an activity or chore. I have no idea what she means.
"I'll start," says Poodles.
She snaps to the beat and then says,
"The sweep."
Suddenly, she's grooving to the music, miming the chore of sweeping, somehow making it look like a hot new dance move. Everyone claps. I panic even more.
"Look at me, look at me,"
Morgan sings, waving her hands from side to side while shaking her butt.
"My new move is the window washer."
"Go, Morgie,"
Poodles hollers while the rest of the girls cheer in approval. Wait a second. Her arms are stiff and she looks ridiculous. Could it be? Is it possible that Morgan has no rhythm, yet they're all cheering her on anyway?
"My turn!"
Carly lifts her knees in slow motion to the beat.
"I call it the climbing man."
She can't dance either. Yet there's more cheering and hollering. Allison joins in, performing a series of kicks that would make the A-list fashion show girls at my school cringe in horror.
"The soccer player."
Now even I'm cheering. Then, before I can chicken out, I say,
"The doggy paddle,"
and proceed to shake my butt and pretend I'm swimming. And they're still cheering.
They are.
I beam and throw myself into the moves wholeheartedly. I quickly deduce that out of the five of us, only Poodles can actually dance, while the rest of us look absolutely ridiculous. But as during yesterday's soccer game, we don't care. Instead, we make a game out of how bad we are. And this is a game I can win.
"Rachel, you're hilarious,"
Allison howls as I try my hand at the making the bed and then the brushing your teeth.
"Hey,"
Carly says over the music.
"Speaking of toothbrushing, does anyone know why there were 50 toothbrushes under our table yesterday?"
"La, la, la." I distract her with the garbage dumper. I'm in such a good mood from dance that I don't even mind when Rose later puts me in the lowest swimming group, which is essentially remedial swimming. We learn how to flutter kick, which is basically holding on to the dock and kicking. Gee, thanks. Then we have Newcomb Ball against Bunk 15. I had never heard of Newcomb Ball, but apparently, it's a camp sport that's a lot like volleyball, except easier, because you can catch the ball before lobbing it to the other side.
"Damn,"
Poodle says as the ball slips through her fingers for the second time. Bunk 15 keeps whipping the ball over the net. We've been playing for only 3 minutes, and we're already losing 5-0.
"What is up with you guys?"
Allison asks the other side.
"I've never seen you so competitive."
"There's nothing wrong with wanting to kick your butts,"
barks Kristen, her hands on her hips. She's somehow managed not to lose her pearl earrings. If they were mine, they would be at the bottom of the lake by now. It's Natalie's serve, and she hurls it straight at me.
"I got it! I got it! I got it!"
I say as I hug the ball into my chest. "Yes, I did it."
"Way to go, Rachel!"
my team cheers. Now all I have to do is throw it back over the net. the incredibly high-looking net. It's time for a little magic. It's time to fly, Newcomb ball, reach for the sky. And then I throw, and the ball goes up and up, way up, over the trees, over the mountains, and then a distant splash. I think it landed in the lake, Trishelle says, rubbing her eye and smearing black eyeliner down her cheek.
Nice going, Rachel, Cece says. Now what?
My face feels hot, and my neck feels hot, and now my arms, zap, rush of cold.
Careful,
Allison shouts, as the Newcomb ball net tips over and crashes down on the Bunk 15 girls, trapping them beneath the mesh. Whoopsies. Deb and Penelope declare the game over.
We were raided,
Morgan shrieks. We wake up the next morning to find our beds and bodies tangled in toilet paper. My pillowcase is covered in shaving cream. Should I be concerned that I dreamed about eating ice cream?
This is so gross,
Poodle says, trying to comb the mess out of her hair.
How could anyone be so immature?
Our bunk has been totally trashed. Our shelves have been emptied, and our stuff is lying on the floor, covered in toilet paper and sticky orange and pink string. It looks like Times Square on January 1st.
Do you think it was the boys?
Carly asks.
The boys in our bunk at night? How adorable.
No, I bet it was them.
Morgan juts her chin out at the wall separating us from Bunk 15. Less adorable.
They wouldn't do this to us, Allison exclaims. They're our friends. They haven't been acting like our friends,
Poodles grumbles. Suddenly, we all realize how quiet the other side of the cabin is, and then we hear muffled laughter.
Oh, yeah. It was them.
Of course, they deny it. Naive Deb doesn't believe they would do that to us, and since we can't prove anything, we get stuck cleaning for most of the morning.
We have to get them back,
Morgan says, stuffing her foamy sheets into her laundry bag.
We will, Poodle says, but not tonight. We'll do it when they least expect it.
This is so lame,
Morgan says the next day as she opens the rec hall door for evening activity. The rec hall is an old wooden room with rafters on the ceiling and the names of campers graffitied all over the walls.
It's a sing-down. I know it.
I, on the other hand, do not think it's lame. I don't think it's lame because Raph is on the other side of the room. Evening activity is the best because it's either the whole camp or the entire lion unit.
Rachel!
I look up to see Miri beckoning me to her.
In a minute,
I mouth, then follow my bunk to a bench in the corner. As soon as I sit down, Janice, green pen in mouth, that can't be good, flicks the lights on and off.
Settle down, everyone,
she says.
Sit with your bunks. It's time for a sing-down.
Told you,
Morgan mutters, taking a seat.
Here's how it works. Every bunk gets a...
We know how it works,
interrupts Bloom, looking extra scruffy in a sweatshirt with its sleeves ripped off. His bunkmates laugh. Janice starts pacing up and down the room.
Not everyone knows, Bloom. Now be quiet, please. As I was saying, every bunk gets a pad of paper. I'm going to say a word or an expression or a theme, and together as a bunk, you write down as many songs that contain it as you can. Then each bunk will have a chance to sing one of the songs. Remember, if you repeat a song someone else has sung, you're automatically disqualified. Last bunk standing wins.
What do we win? Bloom asks.
Glory, says his counselor. And for being a pain in the ass, you get to be secretary.
His bunk laughs again. All of the lion unit is here. I spot Miri sitting with the rest of bunk too, but she's slightly behind them. Ah, Mir. Why isn't she making friends? I'll have to give her a pep talk. She has to be friendly and outgoing, and she can't be afraid to put herself out there.
All right. Get ready, Janice says. The songs have to have a color in them. Got it? You have 2 minutes, starting now.
No time to worry about Miri. Must think of songs. I huddle with my bunkmates. Deb plays secretary.
Brown-eyed girl, Carly whispers. Poodles. Blue suede shoes,
Allison.
Yellow submarine,
me.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Deb scribbles it down.
Yes, I got one.
We throw out a ton of songs before Janice announces that our time is up and that bunk 5 will go first. The boys' counselors gather them and count. 1, 2, 3.
Brown-eyed girl, you my brown-eyed girl.
They shriek in disastrous voices.
Damn.
Deb crosses out our number one song. We're going clockwise, so next up is bunk 15.
Ready, girls?
Penelope asks.
It was an itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny yellow polka-dot bikini,
they sing. Kristen shakes her butt. Liana tosses her hair.
Bunch of jerk-offs,
Morgan mutters.
Bunk 2, you're up,
Janice announces. The girls from Miri's bunk lean in together. Well, all except Miri.
Baby beluga in the deep blue sea,
they sing.
Bunk 11.
Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree.
17.
That's Raph's bunk. The group counts to 3 and then sings,
Red, red, run, you make me feel so fine.
7,
says Janice.
Blue moon,
the youngest lion boys croon.
You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart. Blue moon.
And that's when they all spin around, pull down their pants, and moon us.
Ew,
we scream. All the girls, anyway. The boys just laugh. Janice bites her pen like she's a rabbit with a carrot.
You're eliminated for lewdness.
The boys are bent over with laughter. I doubt they care. Poor counselors. They're definitely going to have their hands full with this cheeky group. Pun intended.
14, you're up.
Poodles pretends she's a conductor.
1, 2, 3.
We all live in a yellow submarine,
we sing, and then cheer, Wahoo!
Fun.
We go around the circle again, and we have to cross out some of our songs. Then Miri's bunk sings Brown-Eyed Girl again, which makes no sense. I mean, how hard is it to put an X beside one of your entries once someone else sings it?
You're out,
Janice shouts. We go round and round and round, and bunks get eliminated, either for duplication or for not being able to come up with something new, until it's just us, 15, and Raph's bunk. And then Raph's bunk sings Yellow Submarine, which we already sang, and they're out. Now it's between us and 15. This is no longer a game. After the way they've been treating us, it's war.
We're out of songs,
Deb whispers.
Someone think of one, quick. Come on, Magic. I need a remember a song spell. What can I do? I need to think of something.
And that's when I look up at Janice and see her green pen, which makes me think of the green song.
Me. Kermit's song, you know? Green? How does it go?
It's not easy being green, Poodle says, high-fiving me.
Brilliant,
Deb says, scribbling it down. Liana whispers something into Natalie's ear, then motions to the rest of the bunk. 2 seconds later, they belt out,
It's not easy being green.
Ah!
My whole bunk groans.
She was so eavesdropping,
Morgan says.
I hate her.
She totally was eavesdropping. How dare she steal my green?
14, you're up.
Hold on, Poodle says, and motions us in. Anyone got anything?
Count with me, everyone,
Janice instructs.
10, 9.
Anyone have anything? Allison begs. Carly?
7, 6.
The whole unit is cheering now. Poodles? Morgan? Rachel? Liana is a thief. She sucks. I wonder how she'd feel if she were really green, as in, poof, you're now Kermit's sister.
3, 2, 1.
Janice makes a loud buzzer sound, and her pen explodes all over her mouth and chin, giving her a green beard.
15 wins. Nice game, everyone. Off to snack. Be back at your bunk for curfew at 10:15. No excuses.
Thief, thief, thief.
Hey,
says someone behind me. I look up to see Raph. Yay. Hi.
You going to snack?
I'm going anywhere you want me to go, mister. I shrug, oh so casually. Maybe. You?
Sure. Come with me. Do you know my boys? Bloom, Colton, and Anderson?
Come with me, he says. Finally. I can't believe it's taken me over 4 days to get some quasi-alone time with him. The scraggly guy, the cute Texan, and the guy who really does wear too much hair gel say hello. The five of us skip down the stairs of the rec hall. It was light when evening activity started, but now it's pitch black. I look up to see a sky layered with shining stars. Wow, this is amazing. I fill my lungs with night air. It's so nice here, I say.
It is, huh? Are you cold?
I am a bit chilly. My arms are covered in goosebumps. Maybe I should stop back at my bunk and get a sweater. Raph pulls his black sweatshirt over his head.
Take mine.
Oh, my God. I am wearing Raph's sweatshirt. Raph's deliciously yummy-smelling sweatshirt. Does this mean he likes me, or is he just being polite? We talk all the way down the hill to the back of the dining hall and then meet up with some of the others. Raph, Colton, Anderson, Bloom, Morgan, Carly, Allison, Poodles, and I get our cookies and then debate what to do next.
Let's go hang out on our porch,
Morgan says. Poodles steers Carly toward Anderson. Carly turns pink but goes up to him anyway. Guess she does have her eye on him after all. Raph and I follow the rest of the crowd back to our bunk. I can't believe how much walking we're doing. I must have walked like 100 miles since I've been here. Lower field, upper field, lower field, dining hall. It's better than a treadmill.
So, how'd you do on your exams?
Raph asks me. Not bad. You?
Good, I think. But math was a killer. Bet you didn't think so,
he says, teasing. Raph knows that math is my best subject. I grin. It was okay.
What did you get?
My final grade?
Yes, your final grade.
99. He laughs.
What happened to the last 2%?
Very funny, I say with a happy smile. I love when he teases me. I look up at the endless sky. Hey! There's the Big Dipper. He nods.
And here you are,
he says softly. Here I am.
I'm glad.
You are?
Very.
And that's when he lifts his arm and puts it around me. Oh, my God. Raph's arm is around me. Around me. You don't put your arm around just a friend. He likes you, Allison says to me. She's wearing her PJs and sitting at the foot of my bed.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, says Poodles, who's standing in the center of the room flossing her teeth.
Definitely. He was, like, giving you moon eyes the entire sing-down. He has it bad.
Yes, I saw it, too, Carly adds.
She's back on the floor doing her stomach crunches, her feet anchored under her bed.
You're lucky, Morgan says. He's one of the best guys here.
Please. He's one of the best guys anywhere.
Before lights out, we need to do your electives, Deb says, sitting on Poodle's bed. They start on Thursday after lunch. So tell me what you want to take for both elective A and elective B.
What are the choices? I ask.
You have to pick two. A and C, that's arts and crafts, Rachel. Pottery, sailing, windsurfing, canoeing, tennis, archery, drama, water skiing, baseball, and basketball.
Basketball, Morgan says. All the guys take basketball.
Brilliant. I'm going to take basketball, too.
Taking what they take is obvious, Poodle says, shaking her head.
That is so true.
I'll take basketball with you, Carly says. I have a killer shot.
That's A for Morgan and Carly. What do you want as your B elective?
Drama,
Carly says.
Oh, me too, says Morgan. We'll be in the play.
All right, Deb says.
Poodles, what do you want to take?
Sailing and sailing, she says.
Deb shakes her head.
You have to choose two different ones. Sailing and windsurfing, then. At least I get to stay at the beach.
Done, Deb says, scribbling on her notepad.
Allison? Same with me. Sailing and windsurfing.
Rachel?
I'll take sailing and...
Windsurfing sounds a lot scarier than sailing. I mean, you have to do windsurfing alone, right? Just stand up there and hope the wind pushes you? I am so not into standing up there solo in my bathing suit for the world to see. Come to think of it, I'm not even allowed to go windsurfing because of my dolphin status. Crap. Now what? I've never canoed, played tennis, or arched. That can't be the right verb. And although hanging out with Raph at baseball and or basketball sounds fun, how do I know which one he chose, if either?
A and C?
You know what? Allison says. I think I want to change my windsurfing to A and C, too.
Me too, says Poodles. Can't be too obvious, right?
After we're done, I head to the bathroom to get washed. As always, I practically freeze my face off while washing it. I quickly brush my teeth and then retreat into the cubby room to change into my pajamas. I gingerly remove Raph's sweatshirt. Instead of folding it and putting it away, I take it to bed with me. Snuggling with Raph's clothing will be like snuggling with him.
Well, not quite, but it will have to do.
Deb turns off the lights.
Hello, yummy sweatshirt.
Of course, I can't help remembering that the best love spell involves a piece of the victim's... guy's clothing.
Not that I'm putting a love spell on Raph.
This time I won't need one, hopefully. And this time I want the real thing.
Rachel, wake up!
I am being poked in the head.
Yes?
I ask, opening one eye. Poodles is motioning me to follow her.
It's time.
For what? I whisper.
To get them back,
Morgan tells me. She is dressed all in black. The clock says 3 a.m. I throw off my covers and hurry to join them.
What's the plan?
We are painting their faces,
Morgan says.
Poodles borrowed paint from A&C.
Trying not to giggle, the five of us get into position. Poodles is painting the girls on the top bunks while Morgan does the bottom ones.
Carly and I hold the paint and act as artistic directors. Allison's duty is standing by in the bathroom in case Deb or Penelope wakes up. Natalie gets red glasses painted on her. Trishelle becomes a Dalmatian, and Kristen gets the measles.
What do you think?
Poodles whispers while painting green whiskers. It's Molly the mouse. I swallow my laughter. Molly wrinkles her nose in her sleep but doesn't wake up. Next, we visit Liana.
Turn her into a cat, I whisper. Actually, I have another idea.
Poodles dips the paintbrush into my jar of black paint and paints a goatee on Liana's chin and a mustache on her upper lip.
That is so mean, I murmur.
Mean, but funny. Until Liana's eyes start to flutter. Poodles jumps back.
Uh-oh. False alarm, Poodles tells me. She's still asleep.
After Morgan puts the finishing touches on Cece, I'm not sure what she's supposed to be. She just has stripes and X's across her face. A tic-tac-toe board? We sneak back to our side of the cabin.
Won't they know it was us?
Carly asks.
Probably,
Poodle says, laughing.
Maybe we should paint ourselves, too, to fool them,
Carly says. Morgan rolls her eyes. Then we'd be painted.
Let's just get rid of the evidence,
Poodle says, tiptoeing toward the door.
Margie, come with me. We'll leave the supplies in front of the ANC.
The remaining three of us get back into our beds.
You know, says Carly, I'm going to hide the mirror so they don't know what they look like.
But they'll still see each other, I try to explain. But Carly is already in the bathroom, removing the mirror from the wall. Allison and I fall asleep, giggling to ourselves.
Bunk 14, time to get up,
Janice says, stomping across our floor. Then she disappears into the cubby room and into bunk 15.
Bunk 15, it's time to get...
Audible gasp.
What happened to you?
We all jolt up in bed, smiles on our faces.
There's something on my face!
Trishelle shrieks. Kristen.
Mine too! What is it? What is it?
Cece.
It's red!
Liana.
Well, it's all over my 300 thread count pillowcases.
Now we're even, Poodle says. They tried to scrub the paint off, but without a proper shower, they are forced to go to Flagpole with multicolored faces.
They look like Teletubbies,
Morgan snorts at breakfast over her stack of pancakes. Girls, Deb admonishes. I hope you didn't have anything to do with this.
Us?
Poodles innocently bats her eyelashes. Why would we do such a thing? Pass the maple syrup. Of course, Bunk 15 knows that it was us. Not that they can prove it. They keep glaring at us from their table.
We got them good,
Morgan says. Allison bites her lower lip. And now we'd better watch our backs.